Welcome to The Nourished Nervous System, an exploration of stress, the nervous system, and transformative self-care practices for parents and other humans through the lenses of Ayurveda, holistic coaching, somatic practices, herbs, and much, much more. I'm the host, Kristen Timchak, a holistic life coach, Ayurvedic educator, herbalist, and mother of a tiny human. Please join me for information, insight, deep thoughts, and small steps to help you nourish your nervous system. Welcome and welcome back to the Nourish Nervous System. I'm so happy you're here today. So first, I want to give a little update on my experiment with the community questions. It seems not to be working, which is totally okay. That's the whole point of an experiment, is to try something new and tweak it and see what works and see what doesn't. So I'm going to try something else. To hear my invitation is that I would love to hear what questions you would like to hear from the community about, or what questions would you be excited to answer? I thought about people writing in questions that I could answer, but I'm still really into this idea of hearing from you all and learning and growing together in this. So if you have a question that is nervous system, self-care, self-growth, transformation related, and you would love to hear it answered by the community, write to me, Kristen@nourishednervoussystem.com, or reach out to me on Instagram @nourishednervoussystem. Okay. And oh yeah, just a little reminder that this podcast is purely for entertainment and educational purposes and should not be considered health or mental health advice. Anything said should not be taken as a replacement for medical, clinical, professional advice, diagnosis, or medical intervention. Last month, I had the honor of teaching a short class on Lisa Maze's monthly online new moon gathering. And I was talking about how with some self-care practices, like going outside for a walk in the winter, I can have resistance. I don't always want to do it, but I always feel better after I do it. And one of the people in the class asked how I move through resistance. And I had an answer at the time, but it just sparked this deep dive for me within myself the past couple of weeks of really thinking about resistance, about its purpose and why it comes up, and some different strategies that I use to move through it. And then this also led me to thinking about the individual Ayurvedic constitutions and how resistance and how we move through it may show up differently depending on your constitution. And so I've decided to do an episode on it because resistance, as I say in the title, is a normal part of change. It's totally normal. It's human. It doesn't mean that there's something wrong. It doesn't mean that you're doing it wrong. It's just a part of change. And actually, I'd say that if resistance is coming up, it means that you're doing it right. It means that you're stepping out of your comfort zone. It means that you're actually trying to do something different than what you normally do. So if you're feeling resistant towards something that you're doing in your life right now, celebrate that. Celebrate that you are creating change, because resistance is a part of it. And I think that getting curious about resistance and why it's coming up and how that resistance can actually serve you can be really valuable when trying to create change. So whether that change is something tangible out in the world, like a new habit or a self-care practice, or if it's something internal, like creating new thought patterns or beliefs or responses to emotions, if you've tried to create change in any way in your life, you've probably encountered some resistance somewhere along the way. And I think there are many, many different reasons that resistance may come up. And I'm going to talk about a few. I'm sure there's many, many more. I'm noticing a few specific patterns of resistance in my life. The first, and maybe one of the biggest, is when something is new. if I've never done something before or have only done it a handful of times, I can notice a lot of resistance. So your nervous system is wired to protect you. Something unknown, even if it's something that is good for you, is still an unknown and therefore a threat. So your nervous system will choose the bad habit that it knows over the good habit that it doesn't know. And so when I think about this, I kind of imagine like a river or a stream flowing, and that habit or thought pattern and the neural network that supports it is kind of the stream bed and the stream. Over time, it's been carved out and worn by the water, and the water effortlessly moves through it. It's easy. That pattern is ingrained. And so if you want to change the direction of that stream, there's going to be resistance. It isn't going to happen by just brushing your hand over the earth going in a different direction. You're going to need to put in effort and trace that new pathway again and again, carving it out until it's deep enough that the water begins to flow effortlessly down the new pathway. Does that make sense? That existing habits and behaviors and thought patterns and beliefs, they have their own momentum. They have their own neural network. There's a series of neurons that are firing every time this happens. And in order to change that, it takes consistency and repetition. And there can often be resistance, especially when something is new and unknown to the nervous system. I really try and get curious about it. And I think for me, sometimes the best way to move through this kind of resistance is to just do the thing. You can try to stay curious about how you feel while doing it and how you feel after, and do it enough times to really be able to track how you feel. Like, if you haven't exercised at all in a while, you may not actually feel great the first bunch of times you ride your bike or do the exercise. It may take a bit for your body to adjust to this new thing, to actually notice how it benefits. And you may ask, how do you actually push through that resistance and do it those first few times? Some tools I use when I feel the resistance come up is taking some deep breaths and trying to get out of my head, noticing my senses, getting into my body, and to do practices that help me calm my nervous system. Even just saying to myself, this fill in the blank, whatever you're doing, is not a threat. I'm not in danger. I'm just doing something new. You can find what works with you. But sometimes if you're in that place of irrational fear or threat around something, it can actually help to kind of move from the body inward. Instead of trying to change your mind about it, sometimes it can help to first just get the body into a more regulated nervous system state. And then if you can do that, then you can work with that resistance that's in your mind. Another way that I notice resistance comes up is when I'm doing something that I may have done many times before, but for whatever reason, I perceive it as hard or challenging. And I guess the important part in this is that it's what I perceive as hard. It could be really easy for somebody else. It could be easier on a different day for whatever reason, or it could be something that I'm out of practice with, so I'm perceiving it as hard. There's a hurdle that I have to jump through, and it's very personal. Another way to think about this is that maybe there's just another easier option that I'm choosing instead of the hard thing. Maybe I'm choosing to scroll on my phone instead of meditate, or I'm choosing to stay inside where it's warm instead of go outside in the cold for a walk. That's what my nervous system will choose. It's going to choose the easier path or the path that has more dopamine, like choosing to eat a cookie over something that's healthy, or choosing to scroll on social media over doing a meditation practice. So it's good to be aware of these things when you're feeling resistance. If you're trying to create a new habit to create some change, notice, are the things that if you're finding resistance, if you're not choosing the things, are the things you're choosing instead, do they give you more of a dopamine hit? Are they things that are just easier? And it's a good place to, that can be a good place to challenge yourself, to work on doing the hard things. And something interesting that I read about recently is that there's this part of the brain, and there's been a lot of research done on this, called the anterior mid-cingulate cortex. And this part of the brain is related to willpower and tenacity and the ability to do hard things. There's also some research that suggests that this part of the brain is also related to what they call, in one study, successful aging, which in this particular study, they were looking at delirium in older adults and seeing a correlation between the thickness of the anterior mid-cingulate cortex and the healthy brain function in these aging adults. And so doing these hard things, moving through resistance, doing things that you perceive as challenging can help to actually increase the gray matter of the anterior mid-cingulate cortex. And so I just find that fascinating. And for me, it's also a little bit of motivation to move through my resistance and do the hard things, because it could potentially help my brain to also age more successfully. And so this resistance, this doing hard things resistance, some of the ways that I work with this is by using a felt sense memory of how I feel during or after I do the thing. And I guess this can work either way. Like, you could feel the less desirable outcomes. Like, you could, and I know I do this sometimes, like I can imagine if I have, you know, one more cookie, like, how am I going to feel? I'm going to feel pretty bad. I'm going to maybe feel like hungover from sugar the next day. And that can deter me from doing that thing and maybe making a healthier choice. Or like, how am I going to feel if I scroll too long? But I think I prefer trying to focus on what I want to feel. Like, I'm focusing on the desirable outcome. So in the example of going for a walk out in the cold in the winter, I'll like pull up a memory of how fresh and clean the air feels in my body and how the cold wakes up my mind. And I think about how my body actually feels warm after walking for a little bit. And I think about how beautiful the sky is on the really cold winter days. And I think about afterwards, when I come back inside and the house feels so warm and cozy and my body's a little bit tingly from the cold and my eyes feel bright and I feel more alive and I feel more relaxed from moving my body. And I'm tuning into my senses and really feeling the feelings until I almost begin to crave that feeling that I can only get from going outside for a walk in the cold. And sometimes it can be enough to push me through the resistance. I think it can also be helpful to break it down a little bit and identify exactly what piece of it that you're resisting. For example, sometimes with the going for a walk outside, what I'm actually resisting is getting all geared up, getting all my clothes on and my hat and my boots and all the things. So trying to find ways to make that process easier, or even just recognizing it of like, wow, you're resisting this one small part and you know you're going to feel so good afterwards. And so sometimes that can help me to move through that part that I might be having resistance to. Another way that I break things down into smaller pieces to help with that kind of resistance is breaking down the actual activity into smaller pieces and giving myself some outs. So an example of this with the walk is, let's say I'm feeling a lot of resistance around going for a walk. I might just break it down into a smaller chunk. I might just tell myself, okay, just get your stuff on and walk to the end of driveway and back. At least then you're getting outside, you're getting a little bit of movement, and it's something, and that's all you have to do. And sometimes just taking some pressure off, just giving myself an out, can kind of free me up and push me through, and I'll walk to the end of the driveway and then be like, well, I'm out here, I feel good, I guess I'll keep on going. And that's usually what happens, is I'll keep on going. But I've given myself a break. I've given myself a little bit of space to actually listen to my body and decide to be in the movement and say, do I want to keep going? Or do I actually, what I really need is to go back inside and just rest or get back to work or do whatever I need to do. So it's just creating a little spaciousness around what you're doing. So something else that's kind of related to this concept is the practice of building capacity. And so I think sometimes when you want to get healthy or create change, not you specifically, but we as humans can set unrealistic goals. So let's say like, I haven't run in years, but all of a sudden I want to have this goal of like running 5 miles every day, or I'm going to start meditating like a half hour a day, even though I've only meditated a handful of times in yoga classes. It's like we make the goals too big. And so resistance can come up because the goal you're setting for yourself is so far from where you're actually at. And so once again, with this practice, getting curious and working on building capacity instead of doing it perfectly. So if you've only meditated a few times, then maybe starting with 5 minutes a few days a week until that feels easier, until you have more capacity for sitting still and focusing on your breath. And then you can slowly increase that over time. I think this can be a really helpful tool. I'm currently in a business program taught by Luna Dietrich. Every month we work on capacity building goals. And one of mine has been to become more visible on social media. And I'll be honest, I have a love-hate relationship with social media, and my comfort zone is to post things a couple times a month. I'm pretty happy just sort of being a voyeur, checking out what other people are doing, and just kind of staying kind of quiet. And I have a lot of resistance to posting and to being seen. So I've been really practicing with building my capacity, and I started with just like a couple times a week, just posting something, whether it was like a story on Instagram where I repost somebody else's story or posting some memes. And now I'm up to doing it almost every day, and it's gotten easier, and I have a lot less resistance to it because I've been building my capacity. I didn't just say like, I post twice a month, I'm going to go to like posting 5 times a day every day. And actually I would never ever do that anyway. But you know, I didn't put my goal so high, but it's just building that capacity. And the more you do something, the more that you rewire your brain and create those new neural networks, and that you, the more that your nervous system can see, oh, this isn't a threat. This is something now that I know this is safe, then the less resistance that comes up. I think the other part of this is when you work on building capacity, there's a way that it's also saying like, I don't need to be perfect. I don't need to do this to 100%. I don't need to do this to the extreme. I don't need to do this to like the best of my ultimate ability. I just need to do it more than what I've been doing it. I just need to create a little bit more capacity to hold this. And perfectionism is a whole other thing. That's going to be a whole other episode. But I think sometimes resistance can really come from perfectionism. And so I think that concept of building capacity can kind of help to ease that a little bit. So I'm sure that there are so many other ways and reasons that resistance comes up. But the other thing that I've really been thinking about is that another kind of category that I notice is that you're resisting something because it's not actually what you need in that moment. And this is a tricky one, right? It's like, how do you know if your brain or your nervous system is trying to like trick you to do the easy thing, or if what you're trying to do just really isn't serving you in this moment? And I don't totally have an answer to this. I think it really involves curiosity and presence and really listening deeply to your body, cultivating a relationship with your body and treating your habits and self-care practices and mindset practices as an experiment that you're constantly doing. I think it's like collecting data and being really present to where you are at in the moment, where your energy is at, and being able to begin to feel the difference between I'm resisting this because it's hard to like, I'm resisting this because my body, my being, my spirit needs something different than what I'm trying to do. And I think it's all very personal. And I think folks who are in burnout or recovering from burnout or managing chronic illness or working with trauma especially need to tune into this, because maybe there are things that you used to do that made you feel great and just aren't the right thing right now. And maybe they will be again and maybe they won't be. But for example, I've always been a very physical person. I've always found a lot of relief and aliveness and stress relief in exercise. But when I was first diagnosed with Hashimoto's and suffering from that fatigue, that just wasn't the thing for my body. Walking was fine, but I tried to go for a bike ride one day, thinking that I just needed to kind of push through and churn up some energy. And I just felt horrible during and after. Felt that resistance to that kind of exercise during that time, because what I actually needed was a yoga nidra practice and good sleep. So I think listening becomes a really important tool here to try and decipher if you need to push through or if you need to do something different. Or maybe something less. Maybe what you're needing is to work on building capacity. You don't actually need to run 5 miles, but what you need is a long, brisk walk. So it's being able to fine tune and move through when you need to move through, but also being willing to shift and change as your needs shift and change. Kind of related to all of this, I'd love to talk just a little bit about how I see Ayurvedic constitution playing into the relationship with resistance. So if you're not familiar with Ayurveda or the three constitutions, you can check out some previous episodes I have. I'll put them in the show notes. And there's a couple other episodes I feel like relate to this topic in general that I'll put in the show notes. And you can do a little deep dive there. But basically, I see the Vata person, and Vata is air and ether. They like change. Vata people, if you think about the wind blowing, it's going this direction and then that direction, they like change. They thrive with change. But I think where their resistance comes up is in having the consistency, the schedule, the order, and actually making that change sustainable, actually doing it day after day. That's really hard. That's where a Vata person might find resistance. They may have a great vision of what they want to implement in their life and maybe even begin things, but have a more challenging time following through or sticking with it. The Vata person may resist things that are more grounding, that are slower, that feel more mundane. When a Vata person is out of balance, they may tend towards more anxiety and fear. So they might find it really challenging. They may have a lot of resistance come up when trying to do things that they perceive as hard when they're in that state. When it comes to resistance, a Vata person may need more accountability. They may need some more help in breaking things down into manageable steps and sticking with a schedule or plan. They may really benefit from practices of listening to their bodies and doing breath work or somatic practices to help ground them in the moment when they are feeling resistance. Pitta, on the other hand, which is comprised of fire and water, but the water is kind of like an oily substance, they may have a lot more discipline, more order, and I think they have to be careful of getting too rigid and overriding the signals of their body. So Pitta people experience resistance, but they may resist to toning things down, to softening, to doing things more slowly and less perfectly. They crave intensity, so they may resist things that are more mild, things that are more gentle. The Pitta person or a person with a Pitta imbalance also really needs to listen to their bodies, to be curious about their resistance and whether they are resisting because it isn't right for them or they need to do something else. I think Pitta people can have a tendency to push through. It's like they'll blaze their wildfire and burn everything down in their path to get where they're going, and they'll often burn themselves out in the process. So if you are a Pitta person who now has an autoimmune disease or chronic illness, you know that now you have to listen. Pushing through isn't an option anymore. And that discipline that Pitta has, it's a really beautiful thing. To be able to move through resistance is a superpower, but one that needs to be checked with deep listening, especially in our culture that really values pushing and striving as norms. And kapha, sweet, grounded kapha. So kapha is a constitution that is made up of earth and water. And so basically mud. And I mean that in the most beautiful, loving way. Kapha is such a lovely, strong constitution. And kapha will resist everything. I'm joking, kind of, but kapha has inertia. So when kapha is at rest, it'll resist movement. It'll resist new things and things that are hard. But the inertia can also work for them. Once they move past that resistance, they have this incredible stamina. They can keep going and they'll leave vata and pitta in the dust because of their strength and hardy constitution. But getting them into action is the hard part. And so they can be really supported by very strong boundaries, by someone holding them accountable that's willing to prod them into action. They need to get a little, have someone kind of light a fire under them and, keep them going. And so this is all just really touching on the surface of this concept, but I think there's value in getting familiar with your constitution. It doesn't change the way you move through resistance, but it may help you to navigate it and to give yourself some grace. And that's the other thing is no matter what to try and love yourself, be gentle with yourself and see it all as an experiment. It's really easy to get into ruts where resistance just wins day after day, again and again. And that's okay. It's human. And when cultivating resilience, that's a part of the ebb and flow and trusting in the perfect timing. It's being able to move in and out of these states, to let yourself off the hook, to not have to do it perfectly all the time, to be able to rest when you need to rest, to push through when you need to push through. And sometimes the resistance, we have so more resistance towards resting than anything else. So that's a really beautiful place to get curious about and look into. Like, are you resisting? Are you constantly doing in order to resist rest? So if you'd like a little nudge where it comes to resilience and some personal accountability, I do have a free resource on my website called the Nourished for Resilience Workbook. It's www.nourishednervoussystem.com/resilienceworkbook. It's in the resources section on my website. And it has an assessment tool, some exploratory questions. But what I'm thinking about for resistance is there's a habit tracker. And it's a way that you can integrate. It's a visual thing that you can print out. You can helps to integrate new habits. And sometimes just having something visual, something that you are writing down, can really help keep you accountable to yourself and help you move through some resistance when you're trying to create change. And also, if you are interested in going deeper and having some more one-on-one support, I offer one-on-one nervous system coaching sessions. You can send me an email, kristen@nourishnervoussystem.com, and we can set up an exploratory call. I keep my prices accessible with a sliding scale, and I just love to support people in creating self-care practices that help them to feel alive and cultivating resilience in working through challenging, limiting beliefs that are keeping them back from creating the life that they want to live. So for your small step this week, I want you to just reflect, is there something in your life that you've been resisting? Something that you know would benefit your life in some way, but you just can't seem to do it. And so my invitation to you is to get really curious about it. Why are you resisting it? Are there any tools that you've heard mentioned today that you could use to try to move through it? Can you think about it in relation to your Ayurvedic constitution? Is there something in that that you can work with to try to move through the resistance? And just see what you come up with. You can journal about it or just keep these questions in your brain as a framework and see what happens, see what unfolds. Okay, my friend, thank you so much for listening. I really appreciate you being here. If you enjoyed this episode, if you found it valuable, there was something in it that you think someone in your life might find valuable, please feel free to share. If you share on Instagram, please tag me at Nourished Nervous System. And I love hearing from you. So please reach out on Instagram, by email. Okay, have a wonderful day, a wonderful week, and I'll be back next week. Hey there. Thanks so much for listening. I'm feeling slightly less awkward, but this podcast thing is still a big learning curve. So I appreciate you staying tuned as I learn. If you are enjoying the podcast, please rate and review. It helps me get seen by people besides my friends. And if you are not enjoying the podcast, I hope you're not still listening, because life is way too short to listen to podcasts you don't like.